Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Listen, Jim Harbaugh says a lot of crazy things.
Sure does.
This one might take the cake. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. This is not about chickens being a nervous bird or who's got it better than us, nobody, or some of the other silly-ish things that Harbaugh says, you know. This one is about his quarterback, Justin Herbert. Did I say welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff? Here we are. Okay.
Hello.
Hi. So, Jim Harbaugh, feeling themselves a little bit. Chargers on a roll. Big win in prime time over the Cincinnati Bengals. Chargering may be a thing of the past. But, of course, Harbaugh's got to take it to the next level. Here's Jim Harbaugh talking about his quarterback, Justin Herbert, maybe one of the greatest quarterbacks ever.
Not only one of the best in the game currently, he's one of the best of all time.
I do not think
I'm going out on a what do they call it, on a ledge, on a limb. I do not feel at all like I'm going out on a limb and saying that.
All right, sure. I don't buy this for a second. You can hear him working it out as he's saying it, Perloff. I think this is something to keep the confidence high for Herbert because, let's be honest, the beginning of the game was great for Herbert. That was an all-time first half against the Bengals.
Yeah.
But then he kind of disappeared for a little bit and then came back at the end to lead a game-winning drive.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably game flow where the Chargers were getting conservative to try to kill the clock. I mean, it sounds weird, but it doesn't sound that weird because isn't Justin Herbert in the conversation with, I'm not going to say Mahomes, but he's definitely in the conversation with Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson. I don't know who else is the recent, those are the two biggest stars, but he's in obviously like the top five, top 10 conversation right now. And he's only 26. So is that wild of a thing to say? Because you'd say it about Josh Allen in 2 seconds, right? He's definitely going to go down as a Hall of Fame, one of the great quarterbacks of all time.
Okay, but here's the thing about Josh Allen. At least he's been to an AFC championship game.
Yeah.
Justin Herbert has not won a playoff game yet. And listen, that might change.
So Lamar Jackson hasn't been to a championship game.
Yeah, he was last year.
But still, he's still not done anything in the playoffs. And he's definitely going to be in the conversation.
Well, he's won 2 MVPs as well, whatever stock into that you want to.
Yeah.
I find it hard. You know, we talk in this day and age that sometimes we anoint guys way too early. Aaron Rodgers has talked a lot about that. And I think this is exactly what Jim Harbaugh is doing. Does Justin Herbert have great tools? Does he have a great profile? Does he have great skill? Totally. But he has not done it in a big game yet. And in fact, the opposite. The only playoff game that he's been in, they blew a 20-point plus lead to Trevor Lawrence. So I can't go there yet. Here's Harbaugh, though, because, you know, there's not stats necessarily to back this up. Believe me, we looked. We tried to find where Herbert would be in terms of, you know, active.
But he's got a great TD to interception ratio.
Season, yes.
Well, his whole career, I think he's skewing to be one of the betters of all time at that.
Okay, well, here's Harbaugh listing off Justin Herbert's career accomplishments.
That's what he's been doing his entire career. He has the most completions of any quarterback in the history of the National Football League in their first 5 seasons. He has the most fourth quarter comebacks. You know, in that time span of any quarterback in the NFL. So it is what it is. I mean, enjoy it.
We are enjoying it. It's not that, and I'm not trying to downplay Herbert, but I think those stats are flimsy in terms of best of all time.
Yeah.
What I like about Herbert this year, it's all the explosive plays and all that stuff is great. He's being super efficient. Yeah. But fourth quarter comebacks, forgive me, that. You got to tell me what happened in the whole game that led to your quarterback needing to bring you on a fourth quarter comeback. To be able to do it is one thing, but was it their play early on that put you in a hole potentially?
I think you're having trouble separating the quarterback from the team. Wins are not a team stat. I mean, that's the thing. Like, who was their coach?
Yeah.
Brandon Staley.
No, he stinks. I get
to
it.
Even make the playoffs with Brandon Staley to win 11 games, like, that's a pretty good achievement.
Well, they actually could have made the playoffs twice if they're head coach basically a week 18 playoff game between them and the Raiders that he screwed.
But it also, too, this is a little bit of an eye test for everybody. Dude, 6'6", can run like crazy and throw the ball anywhere he wants. So much like Josh Allen, Like, they just don't invent quarterbacks like that. There's not. You say that there are other quarterbacks. He's a unicorn in a lot of senses.
So here's the thing about wins not being a quarterback stat. Yeah. I agree with you. There's a lot that goes on to a game, but I do think that quarterbacks are judged by what you do in big games. In big games, and I don't think that's unfair. And right now, the only game of consequence of note, anything that really had stakes on it, Justin Herbert's team blew an all-time lead. So forgive me if I can't get there right now, because you're right. When we judge Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, we don't judge them on the regular season stuff anymore. Right. It's about what happens in crunch time, and we just don't have a lot with Justin Herbert.
Yeah, but none of the... Wait, did you list one Super Bowl winning quarterback in that list?
Mahomes.
Oh, Mahomes. Well, yeah, but like Jalen Hurts, Jared Goff, like those guys haven't really won a Super Bowl yet either. So I think that I don't think you can judge these guys based on that. And same with your guy, Josh Allen. It's just Justin Herbert, who he is. He's just ridiculous. I mean, he makes throws that nobody else can make except for maybe Mahomes and Allen. His arm strike's crazy. He's got a lot of skills. Like, he could easily be an all-time great. I mean, Aaron Rodgers lost a ton of big games. I mean, he was the number one seed 2 years in a row and blew it in the first round. I'm just saying, I wouldn't judge this on wins and losses. And Aaron Rodgers is definitely a top 10 quarterback. I could see Herbert being top 10, top 15 easily. You couldn't see that if you squint?
Here's the thing. I want to see it play out a little bit. And I'm actually surprised that it's Jim Harbaugh who's the one who's doing this, because he's the guy, I feel like, who... Well, listen, he says some interesting stuff about quarterbacks. Didn't he say J.J. McCarthy was the greatest quarterback in the history of Michigan football?
Yeah, he said in college, and that's probably true.
I mean, the guy was throwing like 10 passes a game at some points.
It's
like
Michigan.
Yeah, I know. His competition was not great. I think nobody could disprove that one. Maybe who's his competition?
But I guess sometimes Jim Harbaugh is like he can do this hyperbole thing, but I also think he doesn't like to give flowers before they're earned. You know, I think he's always so worried about being soft like what Nick Saban used to call the rat poison. Like, don't praise us. Don't give us too much, because that's like he's kind of going against what I always thought he talked about Bo Schembechler doing. Right. Like, he had a quote yesterday in the same press conference where he's talking about Bo Schembechler used to tell him and everyone, if someone says something nice about you, kick them in the shins. Because if someone says something nice, it means they're trying to make you soft. They're trying to take away some of your fire and your fight. And isn't Jim Harbaugh kind of doing this? You're going to anoint Justin Herbert, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, when we're going into week 11 of the NFL season, and his first it's too soon. Way too soon.
You know, he's been doing
it. I don't believe this.
You guys have been, he's doing a running bit all year about how Justin Herbert's a god, right? Like, he's like the beast mode thing.
Yeah.
He's been doing it. That's like Harbaugh, by the way, is half coach, half stand-up comedian now. So you can't, you have to understand he's totally performing.
Right, so I can't take it seriously then.
But, you know, Justin Herbert right now ranks 7th all-time in yards per game. Like, his numbers, he's going to have a Hall of Fame numbers because of the era.
Sure.
And
extra
I think
games,
Harbaugh looks at him, he's like, we're definitely going to win at a high level here. So he wins a Super Bowl, he's definitely going to get in this list. He's going to be... I actually think it's a safer bet that he makes the Hall of Fame than doesn't make the Hall of Fame. And also, his start to his career is actually in that trajectory. Like, he's already made a Pro Bowl, Rookie of the Year. Like, he'll be fine if he stays healthy. And he's different of other tall quarterbacks. He's just got a lot more going on. The other thing, too, is I wonder, like, what impact is watching Justin Herbert ball out this year? I mean, does that mean that everyone's going to be like, every owner's going to be like, hey, can you get me a guy who's 6'6 and can run a 4'6 and throw it anywhere he wants? I think he's like, there's a new like tall quarterback revolution. So Carson Beck will probably go higher than he should.
Oh, that's interesting. But, because shorter quarterbacks or slighter quarterbacks have kind of come the thing. Bryce Young, Tua, Kyler Murray, Baker. I mean, these are all top picks.
You've been in an NFL tunnel before. There's nothing more impressive than when the quarterback walks out and he's 6'7". Like, when you see Brady in person, when you see Flacco come out, like, I think Herbert is just... kind of awe-inspiring to Jim Harbaugh. I mean, the dude just had to coach J.J. McCarthy at Michigan. If you went from J.J. McCarthy, who's a first-round pick, to Justin Herbert, who's 10 times the quarterback, I get it. Maybe I'm way over my skis with Jim Harbaugh, but I think Justin Herbert's going to be a Hall of Famer.
855-212-4227. Okay, so you could weigh in on Justin Herbert. A little too soon for me. I don't know, EJ. I know we love our fans in Oregon. We know Justin Herbert is a legend. He's a god in Eugene. He's from Eugene. 4 years at Oregon, we love it, but I can't put him in the Hall of Fame yet.
Sorry, I left Burrow out of my list of elite guys. I think because the Bengals are out of the playoff picture, he's in that conversation too, obviously.
No doubt.
In a weird way, while this statement to me is utterly ridiculous, I mean, the guy's 37, 35 in his career. I know he said he made a Pro Bowl, one Pro Bowl in 5 years. But what I will say is I really like this from Harbaugh because it reminds me of what Mark Jackson was doing with Steph Curry. Immediately he got there and was like, this is the best shooting backcourt I've ever seen. These guys should be able to shoot wherever they want. This guy's the baddest man on the planet. Like, a lot of that was putting a lot on a talent that he sees that is special and saying, he's great. You got to give him all the confidence in the world. You're the baddest guy out there. I actually think because Justin Herbert, in my opinion, has been a loser, like that's his record before this season was a losing record. I think instilling that kind of confidence in him and letting him know that when he steps on the field, he is the most physically gifted guy out there, I think in some ways helping, and I think you're seeing it this year. I mean, this guy, we forget, he's playing on a bad sprained ankle, and as Perloff mentioned, 13 touchdowns, one pick. He's having a phenomenal season, and I think some of that, I think, is this mojo Harbaugh's giving them. And I was slightly disagree. I think Harbaugh actually kind of does this with his players a lot. He did it with Alex Smith when he went to San Francisco. He did this a lot with J.J. McCarthy about how great he was. I think this is kind of his coaching style.
This is why people pick them to go to the playoffs this year. And Harbaugh, now, he's not going to win Coach of the Year because Dan Quinn looks like he's pretty far out in front on this thing. But this is why you get Harbaugh.
Oh, no.
It's not for 5 years down the line. It's for right now.
He's definitely winning Coach of the Year.
The last I saw, Dan Quinn was a heavy, heavy favorite. But I did, in fairness, I checked like 2 weeks ago. But Dan Quinn was like minus 1,000 or something.
By the way, that totally is not your point at all. But there are other reads on Mark Jackson, Steph Curry, and the Warriors. You know, that maybe Jackson was holding Curry back style-wise.
Well, yeah, but no, but he came in and he was immediately saying, this guy is a superstar.
Yeah, your point is valid.
And this is the best backcourt. This is the best shooting backcourt I've ever seen. Steph Curry's the best shooter I've ever seen. These were things that at the time did seem ridiculous. And it was like, how could you say this? Like, what the hell? And then I think it gave Steph Curry confidence to take his game to another level. He became an all-star under Mark Jackson. Of course, his game got even greater when he got to Steve Kerr. But like that, instilling that confidence in a guy who maybe hasn't won so much, I think there's a parallel there.
I'm just also looking back, like, this was a great game for the Chargers because they won against the Bengals. And it was 24-6 at halftime. And then here are the drives for the Chargers in the second half. 3 and out,
right?
Field goal, 3 and out, fumble, 4 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, touchdown. I mean, okay, you can say coming through when it matters, but you could also say, wow, that was a lot of blown drives and totally zero drives. And again, it's not that you can't see the talent of Herbert, but let's see it. Let's wait a little bit. I want at least a full season with him and Harbaugh. And you're right, they're probably making the playoffs.
I mean, they scored 34 points. I mean, that's not it. You can't say anything bad about the quarterback in that game. I mean, yes, they had that doll, but did you see the two throws at the end of the game when he needed them?
Yeah, but
I think they went into, like, this happens. You know, it's game flow. When you're up big, you definitely...
You don't want to go 3 and out. That,
yeah, but...
Not give me that. You don't want to go 3 and out when you're up like that.
You're up big against the Bengals. The Bengals knew you're going to hand the ball off on first down. Like, that's what happens. That's
every
game.
No, they weren't. That's the thing. They were actually throwing the ball on first down, and they were taking no time off the clock. This is how the Bengals got back into the game. So
they scored 34 points, and Justin Herbert made these two crazy throws at the end of the game to Ladd McConkey. There was another throw where he was running against his body and just put a rope down the field. There's definitely nothing wrong with Justin Herbert.
No, there's not, but there was also a fumble that led to the Bengals getting the ball back and tying the game. Like, listen, you win, you get to write the story, but let's just not forget it's never going to be perfect. And that's my point.
And that's fair. But I would also say, though, Maggie, what's good, though, is that they are winning these games. Like, what we've seen is we always say chargering, you know, that's been an adjective or a verb to describe what they do. Like, the fact that, like, whether Herbert's numbers are great or not so great, or whether he maybe gives up the game, they're still winning. And I think that's just been a difference with this season where, like, wow, it feels like they are coming into a game and already have an advantage because of the confidence they come into the game
with Harbaugh. And that's fine. But let's look a little bit closer. So the games that they're 7-3. And this was a big deal because Joe Burrow is actually a great quarterback to be playing against, right? You're going to be going throw for throw, and that's what ended up happening. The other teams that they've won: Tennessee Titans, at Cleveland, New Orleans, Denver, Carolina, the Raiders.
Yeah.
That's not the who's who of quarterbacks in the NFL. They've lost to Pittsburgh, Kansas City, and Arizona.
Yeah, they're 1-3 against winning teams with the one win coming against Denver. Yeah, no, it's definitely been a schedule thing.
For sure.
Right. So the whole greatest of all time stuff. Listen, does Herbert pass the eye test? Of course he does. Like, you're right. 6'6", looks like an Adonis. He can run. His arm. Ryan Leaf told us he thinks that that Justin has the strongest arm of any NFL quarterback. Josh Allen, be damned. He didn't care. Herbert's he's got all the physical tools. Let's see. And now they've got a big game against Baltimore on Monday night.
My only question for you guys is why, I have no problem with Harbaugh saying this because I think it's more for Herbert, less for us. I do wonder, though, does this become a problem in terms of you raising expectations too high too early for this team?
Because I think Maggie, you make it 7-3, and it's Harbaugh. I think it's too late.
Well, no, I mean, when we get to the playoffs, and if they get, I mean, I don't really believe the Chargers team that much. So let's say they go in the first round, they get smoked, which I think is.
It's going to be worse.
Right. That's what I'm saying. So do you feel like this is too much because of that? Like, are you putting too much pressure and too much expectation on a team that's really a year ahead probably?
They're not a team that lends itself to getting smoked, though, because they have – if Bosa and James stay healthy, then they've never gotten smoked. Like, when those two guys are – Joey Bosa and Derwin James are on the field, like, they're competitive in every game. I don't care if Brandon Staley's the coach or Jim Harbaugh.
Right, but TJ's point, like, if they do lose bad, I think it'll be –
They're not going to lose bad.
Okay, but let's just – for argument's sake, say they do. They lost bad with, you know, when they played the Jaguars and they were ahead and then blew a lead. Like, you could play bad can look a lot of different ways.
Got it.
We didn't think Lamar was going to play bad in the AFC Championship game, and he played terribly. So if Herbert does, if they lose and he plays poorly, it's going to be the same type of criticism as if it was Mahomes, Allen, Lamar. Yes.
I totally disagree. He's like, they're underdogs against the Ravens at home, right? Like, the public perception of them is still way down. They're not. We read the Super Bowl odds earlier. The Steelers, who are way ahead of them, like they're not public perception wise. I don't think people are looking at them as a Super Bowl team yet. I think they're actually ahead of public perception. I think they're a better team than the public even perceives them now. So I don't think there'd be great disappointment because they've never really been there. Like, there'll be great disappointment if the Bills don't do anything, if the Chiefs don't do anything, if the Ravens don't do anything. I think the Chargers. Everyone gives them like they're in building mode. Isn't that how they're viewed?
Well, not if you have the greatest quarterback of all time and he's getting paid $250 million. You're not in build.
Did he say he will become one of the greatest quarterbacks? Whatever. Like, the greatest quarterback. Well, that's a slight distinction here. But no, I don't think
the category.
Nobody's going to be super disappointed if he loses, right? Like, I just don't think the Chargers are viewed that way by the NFL nation.
855-212-4227. All right, some robust Chargers talk this morning. Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert. We know we're on in Oregon, so you got a lot of big Herbert fans. We're on in San Diego, if there's any Charger fans left in San Diego. I know that's a sore spot, but we want to hear from you. Again, you can watch the show youtube.com/InfinitySportsNet, twitch.tv/InfinitySportsNetwork, and at Maggie Gray on X. We're also asking a side question today. The movie you saw way too young. Oof. Still remember it. Everyone does. I probably shouldn't have seen that movie. I was 8. That one left some scars. It's Maggie and Perloff. Don't move.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam and just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. A lot of heated debates going on right now. Maggie does not see eye to eye with Jim Harbaugh and I, that Justin Herbert is the greatest quarterback of all time.
No.
Actually, the argument...
What's wrong with me?
Harbaugh said that he is already one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Or how did he word it? He didn't say the greatest, because that's reserved for Mahomes and Brady.
Not only one of the best in the game currently, he's one of the best of all time.
Yeah, he's got... Because it's easy to put up numbers now. His numbers are very well in trajectory to be one of the best of all time. He's 7th all-time in yards per game. You know, the other 6 are playing currently, basically. But yeah, he's going to have a great career. I totally agree with that. The other question, like, are the Chargers a Super Bowl team? That I'm not going to go with. Maggie says the Steelers are a Super Bowl team. I say no. I think that it's going to come down to Bills, Ravens, and Chiefs in the AFC.
Andrew Bogish is here with headlines on this morning. You're welcome to call about this, by the way, 855-212-4227. We're also getting a lot of good entries for the movie that you saw too young as a child, so keep those coming. Hey, folks.
Good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Prize Picks. Football season is here. Week 12. And Prize Picks is the best place to get real money sports action. Download Prize Picks, use code MANDP, and get a $50 credit instantly when you play $5. Must be present in certain states where it's lawful to wager. Visit prizepicks.com for restrictions and details. Last night's 85-41 win over FDU was the 329th 40-point win for UConn women's coach Gino Auriemma. He has only lost 162 times total, so he has far more, almost double 40-point wins than losses. And now he has more wins by any margin than any other college coach.
It makes me appreciate for sure all the things that have happened in the past, all the people that have contributed to this, because you don't really notice it along the way. You just kind of do it. So this is an opportunity to look back and say thank you to everybody.
That was from SNY TV on the court after the win. There were over 60 former players in attendance for this last night. And Gino did not let them go home unscathed.
I was shocked because they had to pay their own way. and if you know any of these guys, you know, they all have their Holy Communion money.
Now, he called the whole team cheap?
Yeah.
Every single player?
That he's ever coached. Like, Sue Bird's cheap.
Well, here's the question. Why is Sue Bird paying her own way? Why is Maya Moore paying her own way? These have won multiple titles. Gino's not Gino without these players. So chicken or the egg.
Who's supposed to pay?
Wouldn't the school pay?
So taxpayer dollars are going to fly Sue Bird, who's a multimillionaire?
Wait, don't people pay their... Wouldn't that normally happen?
I don't... Not a college program.
If you're a dignitary and you go back to a school,
it's public funds.
You?
Like when all the NFL guys have a bye week and go to their alma mater, do you think they're flying it? No way. Like, no, you can't use public money to fly in Diana Taurasi. She was there anyway for ESPN, right? But no.
Are they supposed to pay for their own tickets too and stay in their own hotels? No?
My guess is funding 60-plus people showing up's the problem. Like if you were retiring Sue Bird's number, you get Sue Bird.
Wait, I don't think the colleges can fund any of them. Like where would that expenditure be? I don't understand.
And what do you mean? Like there's money.
There's alumni money.
They sell tickets.
No? Isn't there like a fund that helps?
But not like the school.
A discretionary fund for the athletic department? You don't think that exists?
What about NIL, too? They can't just use
Well, that's
NIL
not like
fund?
School money. I don't think like colleges can do a lot of those things. Like just like put up, like you think USC can just like put up Reggie Bush and then not Reggie Bush.
That's one of all the examples, that's the one you went to?
I don't think colleges can really easily do stuff like that. It's not like a pro team.
But do you think it's against the rules or they don't have the money?
It's public. It's a public university. Yeah,
right, but like, not all of their money comes from public funding. Like, they get money from selling beer at Gamble Pavilion last night and selling tickets to the game. Like, that's not public money.
Also,
that's their money.
What if you welcome any dignitary? Say that, like, you know, someone outside of sports comes to the university.
Yeah, like an English, like a writer comes to the English department. But, like, I think that stuff is all, like it's not easy to do that. Like, you have to have a budget and blah, 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 blah.
Exactly.
It's college. There's more bureaucracy than anywhere.
Yeah, okay.
All the things that happened with Gino Auriemma last night, this is not the point I thought we were going to get hung up on.
Right.
I thought it was going to be like, oh, is UConn the greatest dynasty ever? Well,
he's
Gino.
The one who said it, not me.
I didn't think there was an issue with it. I just find it funny that he called them all cheap.
I was going to raise the question, that Holy Communion money joke is old. Is it? Can it last longer than now? I feel like he might be the last person to use that joke and get a laugh out of it.
I didn't even know what he was talking about.
Me neither, but that's all right. He took over in 1985 because I was thinking a lot about another headline from women's college basketball yesterday, which I think you already did, Bogues, which is South Carolina. So
nope.
You haven't done it yet. Sorry. South Carolina just won their 43rd straight game last night. Okay? They beat Clemson. Before that, they were on a streak of 42 straight wins. So they had 42 straight wins, and they lost to Caitlin Clark and the Hawkeyes in the Final Four. Now they've just rattled off 43 in a row. Like, is Dawn Staley going to get there?
So that's I have a Gino cut about that for later this morning, because the question is, will somebody coach 40 years to get to 1,200 wins? And spoiler alert, he says no.
Why? Because the
game is different.
Okay.
The roles are different. He doesn't think people are going to stick around for four decades anymore.
Got it.
And I'm like, you know, at some point, too, Dawn Staley will get paid better longer than Geno did.
That's true.
Where you might just go, all right, I'm good now.
Right.
Like, I can't, let me just go be retired.
But, like, you could have said that for any of the coaches. Like, you could have said that about Mac Brown a long time ago. He's still coaching. Greg Popovich, I know, is sick now, but he's still coaching. Belichick wants to get into it. I mean, people aren't a coach for a long time.
Yes, and coaches end up being afraid that if they're not a coach, they're nothing. So, like, they just do it as long as they can. But
identity
still,
crisis.
40 years is a long time.
I also think there's a future when it comes to women's basketball where ambition will take them out of the game. These great coaches. So like Dawn Staley, maybe she's coaching in the NBA or WNBA or a men's team. Maybe the next great women's college basketball coach is coaching men's college basketball or in the WNBA. Like, are you going to have a women's coach that stays for 40 years just coaching women's basketball?
Right, right.
I think the game is changing in a way in which we're going to see coaches flip from men, women, pro, college. I don't know if you're going to have that. One coach, Pat Summitt or Gino Arama, just coaching one team or even just coaching women's college basketball for that long and being that successful.
The one caveat is the record that Gino broke last night, and now it's 1,217 wins. That's just the NCAA record. It's not women's basketball. It's not even, I misspoke last hour saying Division One. That's just NCAA, men, women, all divisions. No one's more games than him. So if Dawn Staley did coach South Carolina men and coach for 40 years and won 1,300 games, she would be better than Gino.
Got it.
She would break this record.
I don't know. I mean, I thought that Dawn Staley may have been an outside candidate for the Kentucky job last time around. Mark Pope got it, obviously, and things are off to a good start. And I don't think she really was. So I know, you know, obviously we've had some thoughts about women coaching
men. Did
she
interview for the Hornets job last year?
I'm looking this up now. I believe the Hornets did not reach out. But she preemptively said, I don't want to coach that team, which I get it.
Okay. Listen, like Nancy Lieberman, we've had women who are coaching men, but I don't know. I think those doors are opening, but I'm not so sure in reality if they actually are.
I think the legitimacy of the doors being open is the question, right? Like, is an AD or an owner really open to hiring Becky Hammon or Dawn Staley, or does he think that he should just talk to them for appearances?
Yeah, for PR purposes or something.
Yeah.
It's a great question.
The men's college basketball last night included third-ranked Gonzaga dismissing Long Beach State 84-41, and number 8 Alabama outscored 25th-ranked Illinois 187. Paul George hyperextending his left knee in the Sixers' 117-111 loss in Memphis. That same injury to that same knee cost George the first 5 games of this season. The Bucks going in the other direction for now, winners of 4 of 5 after Giannis scored 41 in a 122-106 decision over the Bulls.
We're trending towards the right direction right now, so I'm happy, but I got to stay locked in. You know, I want to go back the other way. We got to stay locked in for sure.
The Clippers pushed their home win streak to 6, 104-93 over the Magic. The Rockets outscored the Pacers 130-113. And the Thunder down the Blazers 109-99. Isaiah Hartenstein, 13 points, 14 rebounds, 4 blocks in his delayed OKC debut because of a broken left hand. Bucks wideout Mike Evans trending towards playing Sunday at the Giants. He has been out since hurting his hamstring in week 7. For just the third time ever, 2 lefties won the Cy Young. Chris Sale from Atlanta, Tarik Skubal from Detroit, both won the pitching triple crown this season, leading their leagues in wins, ERA, and strikeouts. The Carolina Hurricanes scored 3 times in the first 7 minutes of the third period to beat the Flyers last night 4-1. And a group including Cavs owner Dan Gilbert has submitted a proposal for a WNBA franchise for Cleveland. The league has 1 spot left to fill as it plans to get to 16 teams by 2028. Guys, back to you.
Bogish, thanks. Did you guys also see, and speaking of ownership news, that the 10% stake in the Raiders that Mark Davis was selling to the group that includes Tom Brady, that went through yesterday too?
Hey, what? And didn't the NFL, I saw a story of Pro Football Talk, there even limiting Brady even more as a broadcaster now? Because is that why?
He's going to be gone after the season from broadcasting. Yeah. I feel as good about that prediction as any that I've ever made in sports.
Yeah,
he's
going to
do the Super Bowl and he'll be out.
Does he want to go out like this? Is sort of criticized?
He's getting better.
Yeah, I think he wants to get better. I don't think he wants to. Is he getting that much better? I don't think so. His voice is hard to handle.
Listen, he's definitely getting better on the analysis, the ins and outs. He's being more definitive, declarative. He no longer feels so lost.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants to be like Jason Witten and everyone's going to say, oh man, you're a gigantic failure.
But Witten was a disaster from start to finish. If you actually are being fair to Brady, he is getting
but
better.
Just the one and done aspect of it. Well, mm-hmm. I think his legacy would be very negative if he left after 1 year. I'll take that bet.
How many years did Joe Montana do?
But those guys were mocked. Brady hasn't been mocked yet. He's been critiqued, but he hasn't been...
Well, like Drew Brees did one and done, but he wasn't that bad. He just was kind of boring.
Yeah.
Drew Brees wants back in, by the way.
Yeah, Emmitt was kind of boring. Yeah. It's not like they were terrible, but they also... Did Joe Montana get $40 million a year? Like, Brady is still a draw. I'll do this. We have to have some sort of Tom Brady bet.
Okay.
I get what you're saying. Like, he should stop everything and run that Raiders organization.
Well, the Raiders need him. If you're asking who needs who, like, Fox will be fine without Tom Brady. The Raiders need Tom Brady.
Yeah, but I mean, I thought he owned 10% himself. He's part of a group that owns 10%?
Yeah, with Jim Gray.
No.
Yes.
Wow.
I couldn't make that up if I had all the time in the world and all of Aaron Rodgers' ayahuasca. I would have never gotten there.
If Brady was smart, he would stay in broadcasting instead of trying to turn that thing around.
Yeah, I was about to say.
What hurts your legacy more, trying to turn around the Raiders or being a mediocre broadcaster?
Oh, mediocre broadcaster by a million. I feel like nobody cares that Magic Johnson was not great as a broadcaster. Right. We all remember him basically saying, I'm not going to be here, talking about being a Lakers executive. That yeah. lives
but
forever.
But Derek Jeter didn't. It didn't hurt him that the Miami Marlins.
The Marlins.
I think of Magic as a... social media star more than anything.
Who's that too?
Pointing out the obvious.
Magic is the great example of why I think GOATs, you can kind of fail at anything and it's fine.
Like, he's like part of the Dodgers, part of the Commanders. Like, he's had some successes
as an
owner.
Amazing successes.
Magic Johnson's a billionaire, guys. The Magic Hour was not a great show.
Exactly.
Oh, the talk show. Yeah, that was the worst.
Coach, front office person. Like, yeah, he's had some failures, but it doesn't matter because he's Magic, he's a GOAT, and he's been successful in other things, just like Tom Brady.
Yeah, you're right.
Wayne Gretzky wasn't a good hockey coach.
Again, doesn't matter.
Yeah. Like, I think you're right about that. GOATs, you get a lot of leeway.
Yeah, if you do other things and you're not good at it, we're like, it's fine. You still...
You got your one thing.
You scored the most goals until Al Silvestrin passes you in a couple of weeks.
The ultimate is Michael Jordan. I don't think...
Oh, he's a terrible owner.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to stay. Well, he just sold it, right?
Yep.
I don't think anyone cares. Like, that's not part of his
legacy.
To be
honest, he's probably a worse owner than Mark Davis.
I wouldn't go that far.
Or Woody Johnson. I mean, it's not as embarrassing as Woody Johnson, but it's not as successful.
I don't think he ever won a playoff game. Like, ever.
None of those Kemba Walker teams ever won a playoff game?
No, I think he got swept every year.
How many years did he actually own that team?
Too long.
Forever. Thank you, folks. 855-212-4227. Quickly, Jack is in Portland, Oregon. Good morning, Jack.
Good morning. So I normally am not up early enough to hear you all live, but I was dying earlier this week when you were talking about Perloff and the crew were talking about how they'd pee around the toilet and make messes and that his daughter was, you know, sometimes would go on the sidewalk. And at our house, we have trained both of our boys to sit down when they go pee. Otherwise, if they make a mess, they have to clean it up themselves. And it quickly changes your attitude about whether or not you want to stand up. And so it's been a thing in our house to avoid that mess everywhere and keeping your aim straight. And then the movie that you all were asking about, I had some older friends in the neighborhood when I was younger. I was about 5 or 6, and it was Porky's. I don't know if you all remember that movie, but it was absolutely something I shouldn't have watched at 5 or 6 years old. But anyway, thanks, y'all, for being a great show to listen to. I appreciate it.
Jack, A-plus call.
I'd say Porky's is the one movie that people saw their first boob shot for most of many on cable. Like, the cable's coming in fuzzy. You might get a little bit of Cinemax. Oh, it's Porky's is on.
I think it was, wasn't it Samantha from Sex and the City? Was she in Porky's? She's in one of those movies. It might have been her.
That is a good, by the way, a good point too. Like, nothing is less accurate. I even Anthony Richardson is more accurate than a young boy around the bathroom.
Being around the thing about that's Jack. So he said that they taught their boys to sit down on the toilet.
That's a sound strategy.
Okay.
Until they go to school and they're sitting in the urinal, they're getting mocked.
Yeah, careful. Physical, I would not. I personally like to sit in a school urinal. Like, that's. I mean, to sit in a school toilet. Like, who knows what's happening there?
Yeah,
Well, that's disgusting. Why there's like toilet paper and seat covers you can
there's
put
There's not
down.
Enough toilet paper and seat cover
in the
New York City public school.
Okay. I mean, this is your territory, dudes.
Yeah, that's a bad assumption. I think that there's the seat covers in urinals in PS 113 in Manhattan.
Manhattan, okay. Yeah. I mean, not every
also,
school's
I don't think
like
there's
that,
doors
fair.
On the stalls.
There might be that, yeah.
Yeah. That's a must-go-home situation.
Is the bathroom in elementary school like prison for you guys?
Like, yes.
Closer to prison than what you think it is.
But when you get also when you get older, you're afraid you're going to get killed in that bathroom.
I don't know about death.
No, like that was where the major bullying could go down. Mm. Like,
I thought it was always on the bus. The bus was like bad. Major bullying.
Man, you went to some bad schools, Perloff.
No, I mean,
the same
like,
school as Kobe Bryant. This is not a bad school. It's on the main line in Philadelphia.
You weren't going to get killed, but you were going to get beat up a lot. Like, we got, like, punched in the arm and, like, yeah, you definitely didn't want to get, what is it called when you grab by the ankles and dunk your head in the toilet?
Swirly.
Yeah. Like,
that's a thing? That feels like just something from a movie.
I don't know. I never went in the bathroom except.
you just hold it all day.
No, you'd have to go you'd have to find the right bathroom where the young kids were, like the ninth graders. Like, I was terrified of seniors. Maybe you guys weren't scared of older kids in your school.
No,
a little bit.
To the point where you wouldn't go to the bathroom all day.
Well, so no, not that to point, but like football locker room, you're a freshman, and then the varsity's all the same bathroom.
Insane.
Yeah, that's. I mean. That's the Wild Wild West.
Yeah,
that's,
the showers are like
those
are taped, Maggie. That's all I will say.
Oh, good.
This
grief,
is where
you
make sure you change on the way home. You don't change. Just leave in your football equipment.
Man, you guys need to talk about this with somebody.
I think so.
We need to have a little therapy sesh.
Well, football culture, hockey culture, like it's quite abusive. There's no doubt about that. But it was all good fun.
It doesn't sound like it.
It doesn't even a little bit.
I just can't believe
you're crying.
One tear.
We're not making fun of it. If something like that happened, you got to talk to somebody about it. Don't hold it in. But the thing is, I just didn't know. Yeah, the football stuff, the hockey stuff. I've read about that. It's awful. But I didn't realize this was just your daily lives. Sorry, for women in the restroom, this is a totally different experience. We got flowers in there.
But
it's like a nice
couches,
experience.
Massages.
There's like hand cream and
where
nice...
do people smoke and do drugs if not in the bathroom?
I mean, or just it's cleaner, I think.
Well, but smoking though, wasn't that a thing in your bathrooms?
No, our bathrooms didn't have windows. No one was smoking in there. That wouldn't be good. All right, instead of doing the scary movie that you saw too early, maybe we should have a little more of an in-depth conversation.
What's more scary, a scary movie or going to a
being a freshman having to take a whiz during fourth period? 855-212-4227.
You're totally safe during the period. It's in the break, the turnover is when the seniors are there. If you walked into a bathroom and I'm not going to say names, Tom Blank was there. You just got out of
that. This guy again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know that guy, that football player?
Have you ever seen the show Happy Days?
You know how
Fonz had the bathroom was his office, which is kind of gross, but that's the bully owned the bathroom. That was their territory. Like, that was not yours.
Got it.
You'd be better off to just run outside and go in the bushes.
Just have the accident.
There'd be no ridicule on peeing your pants. Just don't walk into the bathroom, heaven forbid. All right. 855-212-4227. Thank you for that. We're going to get into Mike McCarthy Unfiltered next. Listen, we wear a lot of hats on this show. Welcome back, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. Sometimes we're talking sports, mostly. Sometimes we're talking about movies you saw too young as a kid that made you feel scared. Sometimes we're talking about trials and tribulations of just being a young man trying to get through high school, having to go to the bathroom in the middle of the day and feeling like you can't go into the bathroom.
You know the song Smoking in the Boys Room by Motley Crue?
Yes.
The boys' room was where illegal things went down, so it was terrifying.
I love it how Perloff, you make your high school seem like Alcatraz.
Well, I mean, it's not, I mean, also, just keep in mind, I'm a coward. Don't forget that aspect of it. And I'm talking about ninth grade. By 11th, 12th grade, I was comfortable enough that I wasn't going to get beat up to go into the men's room. But bad. Yeah, no, as a young kid, like, what are you, crazy? Especially the one on the first floor where, like, the real bad kids hung out. No way.
I'm raising a young boy. You guys are scaring the bejesus out of me. Dino is in Maryland. Dino, you are a public school teacher?
Yes, yes. 31 years in Title I public schools, kindergarten through fifth grade. I teach phys ed. And the bathrooms, again, you're talking about kindergarten, 5 through 10-year-olds. The boys' bathroom, they're so disgusting. You know, that at times, it's nature. You have to go to the bathroom. So because our kids, and by the way, kids in our county, no matter if they're in, you know, middle school or high school, they don't change anymore for phys ed. Now, they haven't showered for 15 to 20 years. I coach also. You play a varsity basketball game. Everyone's soaking wet and stink. They put their sweats on and get on the bus. So I don't know if it's a culture thing, whatever it is. But as far as the bathroom, you know, me and my co-partner, we have one bathroom in the gym because, again, they don't change. So it's mainly the guys. You're right, Maggie. We're talking to 5, 6, 7-year-olds. The first week of school, basically, without doing it, teaching them how to go to the bathroom, because when we got to go, we want to use a clean facility. it's never the case.
Wait, Dino, don't you have teachers-only bathrooms? Isn't that part of one of the perks?
Hey, listen, 100%, you're right. We usually go to the custodial office by the gym, but at times, like Perloff said, when he's in ninth grade, fourth period, he's got to go now. You got to go in there. So I try not to do number two in the school at all. I'll go to a restaurant at lunchtime and use the restroom if I really need to.
Wait, but Dino, let me ask you a question.
Wow.
Do you really expect your kids to do gym class in fourth period and shower during the middle of the day? Like, that's not going to happen.
I'm not saying that, and it never did because kids in our county have never changed. I'm saying, when I was in middle school and high school for phys ed, we were expected to change and shower. So, no, I wasn't saying that. I'm talking about just in general how the world and how phys ed and how athletics have changed. It's crazy.
Well, Dino, I think, you know, for your aged kids that you're teaching and, you know, as someone who has a 5-year-old, thank you for being that gym teacher that makes these kids run around because they need it, especially the boys, but the girls too. They're like feral at that age. But you're kindergarten to fifth grade. You're getting sweaty, but it's not like that super gross sweat, like post-puberty. Like, that's different. Like,
yeah,
my kid sweats. He never smells. He's 5.
What kind of psycho would actually have gym in fourth period and be like, well, I'm going to go shower in the middle of a school day? Like, that's weird.
Well,
like,
that Dino said he did that when he was a kid.
I don't know. Because when I got to middle school, like, there were showers. They're like, you can shower after you play 23 minutes of volleyball or whatever. Nobody was actually sweating in gym class in high school.
No.
I think that'd be weird. Don't you think? Like, you would take off all your clothes, get naked in third period and shower in front of, like, I just would not interested
in that.
Wait,
hold on. But didn't you do swimming in school? You never did that?
No.
Oh, we had to do a swim. We had to swim for part of the gym class. Manny's nodding his head.
We had to swim too, but we had to travel to somewhere. We didn't have a swimming pool. Our school was insanely small.
Mm.
Yeah.
You swim, you got to change in the locker room. But again, this is not a thing for women.
They also,
you don't walk into a locker room feeling like you need to bring a razor blade. You just go in there and you modestly change maybe, but you don't feel like you're going to get jumped by Laura and Jessica.
Well, I imagine, though, being a woman in the locker room was kind of tough, too.
Well, you want to be modest about it, generally. Yeah.
Based on the movies, that's where all the, like, real trash talk happens.
No. That's where we have our pillow fights.
Yeah,
and
Mean Girls. In the movie Mean Girls, like, they were vicious in that locker room. Just judgmental.
Gina Jordan did her most damage.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, for women.
Yeah, Regina George, if you ran to her, you ran the other way.
Psychological warfare with women. Not really the physical stuff. It's not our style. 855-212-4227. We got an injury to a quarterback. You're going to want to hear about this. M&P.